Hello, welcome to the Tuesday, October 7th, 2014 edition of the Sands and its Storm Centers Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and today I'm recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Got some odd packets today to talk about, and we actually got multiple submissions about this particular pattern. I posted one of them. The couple odd things about this traffic is, first of all, their miscellaneous TCP flag set. Overall, the TCP header in these packets looks corrupt. Source port and destination port is set to zero. And then the one thing that sort of caught my eye was the window size is 6667, which of course is also the destination port for IRC. So my guess here is that these are just some corrupted packets, maybe an attempt at a denial of service, still trying to figure out exactly what's happening here. Some of the source addresses are multicast addresses, so there could be some amplification involved here. However, most of the packs we have seen, in particular the ones that have the reset flag set, they don't solicit any response, so really no idea what's going on here. What we are really looking for right now is any networks that see egress traffic that looks like this, that matches this description, so we can possibly try to identify whatever is causing this traffic. So take a look and check if you are seeing outbound traffic from your network from and to TCP port 0. That should give you a pretty good and easy filter to detect this traffic. Then for National Cybersecurity Awareness Month, our scary false positive of the day relates to patching. The story here is that in this particular network, a vulnerability scan all of a sudden showed that Windows systems no longer had Windows file protection enabled, which of course, you know, for Windows 2000, Windows 2003, is sort of one of the standard hardening steps that you take in order to prevent system binaries from being altered. Well, in the end here, it turned out to be a patch software. This patching software turned off Windows file protection, which it has to in order to apply the patches, but then it forgot to turn it on again, leaving these systems in a more vulnerable condition. So overall, I think the larger lesson here is patching has to be really controlled and not just fast. There is, like, you know, for example, the last couple of weeks with Shellshock, a lot of emphasis on the speed of patching, but really what you should look at is a well-managed patch process, and then, you know, defense in depth, so you don't just depend on patches alone, because you just can't apply them quickly enough. Like, we have seen this with Heartbleed and with Shellshock, where the exploits started happening within a couple of hours of the vulnerability being announced, often before there was even a regular patch available. And on this podcast, I talked a couple times before about how many browsers start phasing out 1024-bit RSA keys. Essentially, what this means is that they will no longer trust certificates that are using keys that short. You should overall use 2048-bits or larger. However, up to now, there wasn't really sort of an urgent reason to actually move to the larger key size, and it was more considered sort of abundance of caution, and that over the next few years, probably there will be relatively fast methods in order to break 1024-bit keys. Well, apparently due to a bug in OpenSSL, that time may have arrived. Turns out that according to a paper presented at a security conference and associated blog posts, due to a bug, OpenSSL actually doesn't use the full 1024 bits, and the remaining keys that are actually possible to be used by OpenSSL can be brute forced rather quickly. The timing that's being mentioned here is 20 minutes on a laptop or 18 seconds using Amazon's cloud. So with very reasonable computing resources, so far it was thought that it would take you at least months or so in order to brute force one of those keys. So what should you do in response? Well, first of all, don't panic. Look at your infrastructure. See if you're using 1024-bit keys anywhere. You probably should get rid of them anyway, so you may want to accelerate a little bit, moving to 2048 or better 4096-bit keys in order to protect yourself. As far as the OpenSL vulnerability goes, it's still a bit fuzzy when this actually happens. It appears to be triggered by a compiler optimization, so it somewhat depends on what compiler version, and what platform you exactly used to compile OpenSSL. Well, this is it for today, so thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.